hear the clock, it's 6 a.m. I feel so far from where I've been. I got my eggs, I got my pancakes too. I got my maple syrup, everything but you. I break the yolks and make a smiley face. I kinda like it in my brand new place. Wipe the spots up off the mirror, don't leave my keys in the door. I never put wet towels on the floor anymore, cause trains last so long, even after you're gone.
Living on a homestead in Homer, Alaska, singer-songwriter Jewel learned to yodel at age 5 and joined her parents' entertainment act, working in hotels, honky-tonks, and biker bars. Behind a strong-willed family life with an emphasis on music and artistic talent, however, there was also instability, abuse, and trauma. At age 15, she moved out and tasked herself with a mission to see if she could avoid being the kind of statistic that her past indicated for her future. Soon after, she was accepted to the prestigious Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan, and there she began writing her own songs as a means of expressing herself and documenting her journey to find happiness. She was 18 and homeless in San Diego when a radio DJ aired a bootleg version of one of her songs, and it was requested into the top 10 countdown, something unheard of for an unsigned artist. By the time she was 21, her debut had gone multi-platinum. She has written a memoir. It is entitled Never Broken. Songs are only half the story. It is just out in paperback, and it is a great pleasure to welcome back Jewel to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. Nice to have you on the program.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. So in the time, in the year or so since the book first came out in hardcover, what has it been like for you to talk about your story and have it sink in a little bit of what you have told all of us?
It's been a overwhelming response to just sort of see how people have responded to the book. And I wanted to sort of follow it up. There was requests by fans to ask, you know, the reason I wrote the book was to share with people. I keep getting asked, how do you go with this type of background and end up okay? And how does a person end up safe? And so I sat down to really try and answer those questions in the book. And it was interesting. You know, I thought when I moved out at 15, if I was very clever, I could maybe outwit the pitfalls that befell people like me with my type of background. And I avoided quite a few of them, but quite a few of the other ones I fell into. And I really learned life isn't, you know, it's not impossible to avoid pain. It's just a part of life. And so it's how we handle pain that allows us to be resilient and functioning and happy people.
So I want to just explore that for a moment. You write in the book, I should probably not be here today. I should probably not even be alive. Being alive, I should have become an addict, knocked up as a teenager, or stuck romantically in a cycle of abuse. If you look at my life at any stage, you might have said, this girl will never make it, and you probably would have been right. What I had going for me, however, was that at a fairly young age, I figured out what I wanted, happiness. You have to know what you want to ever be able to have it. So I asked the question, which is a variation on the question of so many of the people that have asked you about this issue, and that is, well, first of all, how did you know you wanted happiness, and then how ultimately do you quantify that and say, okay, that this is indeed happiness?
Those are great questions. At a young age, you know, I was aware of this statistical problem and wanting to avoid that. I had a great teacher that had me reading a lot of Greek philosophy. And I looked at that idea of nature versus nurture and thought, if I didn't receive a good nurture, could I ever get to know my real nature? And could you re-nurture yourself? And so I set out on this journey, and writing became my way of handling my pain, because I was raised in bar rooms watching people use alcohol and those types of things to handle pain, and I saw it never really worked. And a fascinating thing happened whenever I sat down to write. As soon as I focused on my pain and really got in my body and paid attention to it, not only did I learn things about what was happening and why I was in pain, but the pain lessened, the anxiety lessened. And neurologically, what I've learned about that is it actually started forming what's called a healthy habit loop versus a negative habit loop. And I began to be able to, when I was in stressful situations, have a memory in my body of like, oh, I know how to have an expansive, more relaxed feeling instead of this anxious feeling. And I would turn to writing. And that ended up being kind of a pathway I was able to follow a lot through my life and experiment. I did end up becoming a statistic 3 short years later, however, and despite my best efforts, I did end up as a homeless kid in San Diego. I was sick all the time and I was having panic attacks. And I remembered something Buddha had said, that if happiness doesn't depend on who you are or what you have, it depends on what you think. And that's literally all I had left. And so I decided to start seeing if I could turn my life around one thought at a time. And to do that, I had to start inventing exercises for myself that allowed me to figure out what I was thinking, because I didn't have the talent at the time to really witness my thoughts in real time. And so I started watching my hands, because the hands are the servants of your thought. And that forced me to be present, which was a side effect I didn't realize was so valuable. And so basically all the exercises I invented for myself were mindfulness exercises. That word, wasn't around then. But that's slowly how I began to really retrain my brain and really find an expansive feeling in my body instead of a contracted feeling, and change those fear cycles, those panic cycles, my negativity cycles. And it's been a lifetime of learning. For me, success, the way I quantify it, happiness, I don't think happiness is a destination, like, finding Europe and we never leave again.
Right.
I think it's being comfortable with the process of knowing pain is a part of life, but I'm very capable of handling it and I'm okay. And every time there's pain, I'm going to decide to be more resilient and more loving and more kind instead of more damaged, because our stories can make us exceptional people. They don't have to make us damaged ones.
When in the book you write about pain and you write about one of the most painful aspects of your life, and that is the relationship with your mother, who came back into your life when you started to become famous. As you started to become more popular and people knew who Jewel was, your mother came back into your life and really pushed aside all of the professional people and became the person in charge of your career. That did not end well, and the two of you have not spoken since. What do you learn from that experience, especially of because, of course, that not only is painful, but it also brings in great questions of who we can trust and who we can love?
Yeah, that was a really painful one for me. I really learned that my need to pretend was stronger than my need for the truth. And so I actively really fooled myself about who my mother was. And it cost me very dearly emotionally. And so, her and I haven't talked since then. My dad and I do have a relationship now. I moved out quite young. He was abusive when I was younger. But my dad did a lot of work to earn back a relationship. It takes two people to have a relationship, and it takes two healthy, functioning people. And I'm very grateful that my dad has done that work, and he's come back into my life. And we actually have a really beautiful, very honest relationship now, and I'm very thankful for that. And learning to recover from what happened with my mom was certainly a process, and one I learned so much about myself through. And it ended up being a really valuable time. It was just a hard lesson to learn.
Does it change, do you think, how you mother, of how you parent?
Initially, I did a lot of work on myself before I had a child, because we each have what I call an emotional inheritance. We inherit our genetics, but we also inherit a language of love. And often how we're raised is the way we end up relating in relationships and as parents. And for my dad, for instance, that's what happened. He was raised in an abusive household. He swore he would never do that to his kids, but he didn't learn a new emotional language. All there was a vacuum. And so when he was really triggered, he reverted back to his childhood, neural pathways. It's how it works. And so I did a lot of work on myself to ensure that didn't happen to me. And I think, for me, and why I wrote the title of the book is Never Broken, was I really realized it's not starting from this premise that we're all damaged. It's actually from the premise that we start whole. And I believe our soul is not a chair or a teacup. It can't be broken. It exists perfectly at all times. We just have to get rid of all the stuff that doesn't belong to us. And for those of us that have had imperfect lives and imperfect childhoods, it's really about doing this archaeological dig back to our real nature. And as a parent, I find that I'm intact. I know how to love. I know how to support my child. I need to learn things about what are boundaries, things like that, that I wasn't raised with. But I'm capable of doing that, and I'm free enough of my history that I have clear enough eyes that I can do that now.
And it seems that, that music helped in that. I mean, you wouldn't have been able to do this without this incredible gift and this incredible art form and what you were able to do musically.
Yeah, having creativity offered me healing. I certainly never thought it would become a career. It's funny, even though I was raised singing, I thought I might do what my dad did, which is like blue collar singing in bars, you know, making a living. Never thought it would take me to the levels I did or get signed to record labels. I strictly turned to music and writing as a self-medicating form, and I loved doing it, loved pursuing it. And when I did get discovered and had the opportunity to make an actual real career of it, that work ethic I was raised with ended up really paying off, because everybody's talented who gets signed to a record label. And so one of the only differentiating factors is, can you outwork people? And not being entitled and being gritty really paid off for me as a career.
Jewel's new memoir is Never Broken. Songs Are Only Half the Story. It's just out in paperback. Also, the new season of Discovery's Alaska, The Last Frontier premieres Sunday, October 16th. Which Jewel will be a part of as well. Jewel, thank you very much for being back and for sharing with us once again. Also, it was great hearing you on the wrap-up show this week.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
And as I mentioned, I did develop a website called Jewel Never Broken, where I share a lot of the very simple techniques I use to help calm anxiety and change my negativity patterns. So if people want to check that out, it's a free site, just for a resource.
JewelNeverBroken.com, correct?
Yep.
All right. JewelNeverBroken.com. And again, the name of the book is Never Broken. Jewel, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.